This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Biden trade agenda won't likely become clear for months, according to one top trade senator. The way former finance chairman and now senior committee member Chuck Grassley sees it, President Biden's pick for a trade ambassador, Katherine Tai, will be confirmed well before Biden's trade agenda becomes clear.
She'll be approved a long time before we know exactly how the Biden administration is going to handle UK, whether they're going to get in TPP again, what they're going to do in regard to China.
Regarding Kenya and sub-Saharan Africa, the Iowa Republican says this.
I think you're going to get into the middle of the year before you see any direction. So I think we're just going to have to wait a while.
Grassley expects to support USTR's pick of Katherine Tai unless the very cautious nominee says something outrageous. But the delay in trade policy seems more concerning as the U.S. faces numerous challenges that won't wait, including extended presidential power to speed trade deals through Congress without an amendment. States in the Hypoxia Task Force are urging the Biden administration leaders to continue partnership and support with the coalition. The task force recently penned a letter to leadership at the EPA and the Department of Agriculture. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag, who serves as the co-chair of the task force, states, "Working together, we can improve our local waters and the Gulf of Mexico." The task force is a partnership of 12 states and 5 federal agencies that work collaboratively to reduce the nutrient loading throughout the Mississippi River Basin and in the size of the hypoxic zone in the northern Gulf of Mexico. The group's action plan has a near-term target of reducing nutrient loading to the Gulf from the basin by 20% by 2025, and a long-term goal of limiting the Gulf hypoxic zone to an average annual size of less than 5,000 square kilometers by 2035, but that's all subject to the availability of resources. And despite pandemic disruption, consumer demand for beef at home has continued to remain strong last year. Cattle Facts says that trend will continue this year and beyond, especially as food service operations begin to fully reopen. The data was presented during the recent Cattle Industry Convention Winter Reboot. The strong demand, combined with expected higher cattle price, signal an optimistic future for the beef industry. According to Cattle Facts CEO Randy Black, cattle numbers will continue to contract in 2021, and producers will gain leverage on packers and retailers, and margin distribution will become more equitable. Packing capacity is expected to increase slowly, with the addition of more small-scale plants, and U.S. meat exports will continue to grow as well. Overall, the profitability is expected to improve significantly for cow-calf producers. In 2020, total meat sales volume at retail was up 10% and total dollar sales at retail up 18%, with beef's share of the increase in spending accounting for more than 45%, or $5.7 billion. And moving on into crop insurance news, choosing the right crop insurance protection option this year can be a challenging decision. The revenue protection products, the supplemental coverage option, and the enhanced coverage option each provide different benefits. Dr. Jim Mentert is the director of the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University, and he says farmers need to be ready for some sticker shock.
You know, we've got the revenue protection products, we've got the supplemental coverage option, and we've got the ECO. The vast majority of people really throughout the Corn Belt, especially the Eastern Corn Belt, are choosing an RP product. They're probably pretty comfortable with it at this point. Probably the big challenge for people this year is going to be the jump in premiums. And that jump in premiums is triggered by two things. One is the fact that the crop prices used to compute the revenue coverage have gone up substantially. And then secondly, there's more volatility. And so there's going to be a bit of sticker shock when you look at those premiums. But remember, you are buying substantially more coverage than you were buying a year ago.
He continues to talk about what farmers need to keep in mind if they're looking at the supplemental coverage option.
If you think the SCO option is attractive or something you want to pursue, just remember that from a farm program standpoint, you need to sign up for the PLC program for the 2021 crop year to be eligible for SCO. For most people, for corn, that's probably going to be the program they're going to choose anyway. For soybeans, we've sort of encouraged people to think about the Arc County program. But to be honest with you, we don't expect either one of those programs to generate a farm program payment in 2021. It's a little bit of a coin toss on soybeans even with respect to whether or not you're better off choosing PLC or Arc County. If you think the SCO is something you want to pursue, there's nothing wrong with choosing PLC for soybeans so that you're eligible for SCO.
Mentert says the center isn't high on the SCO coverage option.
We don't find the SCO product all that enticing, largely because it's tied to the county yield levels as opposed to farm level. And so it's okay. It's a product. It's something to think about. Just don't get fooled into thinking you're replacing, for example, if you've been historically buying 85% coverage, don't get trapped into dropping down to 80% and thinking you can essentially get the same coverage by buying the SCO product that you've been getting in the past. It's not the same animal.
Mentert calls the enhanced coverage option the new kid on the block and says it's likely the most attractive to farms that can't afford any significant downside revenue risk from current and predicted levels.
The limitation of it, of course, though, is the fact that although the coverage levels are very high, 90 and 95%, ranging down to that 86, so you're picking up between 4 and 9% of additional coverage. The challenge is, again, it's tied to county level yields, and so it's a county level revenue product. So again, you're mixing a little bit of apples and oranges, and it's a little hard to figure out where you're at exactly. If you're a farm that's already been buying enterprise units and your yields are very highly correlated with the county over long periods of time, then you probably are buying a product that pretty closely approximates what you might get on the enterprise unit side. So probably makes a little more sense there.
Mentert also recommends producers check out the crop insurance computational tools available through the University of Illinois online at farmdoc.illinois.edu/crop-insurance. In other ag news, farm leaders of the United Soybean Board met recently to define future strategies for the organization focused on strengthening the value and demand of U.S. soy. Each year, the 78 USB directors determine where to invest checkoff dollars to maximize farmers' return on investment. Ed Lammers, USB director from Nebraska, says this year, USB directors are focused on the organization's new strategic plan, while USB is in a strong position for the future.
Our first quarter, which starts October 1 of 2020, the collections was up substantially. And then otherwise, we talked about our new strategic plan that our task force is in the middle of coming forward with, and then also direction of the 2022 proposals that we will be reviewing and categorizing, which is our priorities.
Nearly 500 proposals were submitted to achieve checkoff objectives in research, education, and promotion. The shared goal of all selected proposals is to strengthen U.S. soy's reputation and competitive advantage when it comes to nutrition, quality, and sustainability. Between now and USB's next meeting in July, checkoff farmer leaders will review proposals in detail to determine strategic fit ahead of making their final fiscal year 22 project portfolio recommendations. Lammers says U.S. soy is versatile with many new uses on the horizon.
Some of the things that we are focused on is biodiesel, of course, asphalt. Soybean oil is a new ingredient for asphalt that is green, it's clean, it's even longer lasting. And then some soy applicants that cover cement and protects it. There's just a lot of varieties. You can go into chemical application adhesives. It just fits in a lot of places.
And you can stay up to date with the latest from the United Soybean Board online at unitedsoybean.org and this morning at 9 on RFD TV. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, intense demand and high-caliber performance genetics pushed the 2021 Illinois performance-tested bull sale to its second-highest average in 53 years, with 34 lots of Angus, Simmental, and Polled Hereford bulls averaging $4,396 a head. The sale was managed by the University of Illinois commercial ag educator Travis Mateer.
Yeah, we're happy. We think, again, good value, though. We've probably the best set of bulls we've been able to sell, and I think this sale, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale, is is known for bringing cattle in front of progressive, purebred, and commercial producers that are elite. And so it's no surprise to us that, but we're just glad that our buyers see the value in these cattle and that they can go back and work in herds and generate calves for years to come that can add value to their operation. Overall, we were fortunate to end up selling 34 bulls for a total of $149,455. That brings our total to $43.96. In our Angus division, we sold 22 bulls for $44.39 on an average. Our 7 senior bulls bring $47.86 on average, and the 15 yearlings bring $42.77. On our semi side, we had 2 older bulls that were just knockouts, home run bulls. The 2 of them averaged $5,400. That 9 yearling semi bulls averaged $43.33. So our semi average on those bulls is $45.27. But strong sale all the way through. We saw folks that were bidding and buying on really good cattle today.
The sale was held last Thursday at the Louderman Auction Facility near Macomb, and the top-selling bull went for $9,100. And it seems that the month of March has came in like a lamb, with seasonable temperatures and bright sunny days. DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson expects March temperatures to stay on the milder side, and the better chances of precipitation will be in the northern half of the state compared to the southern half.
I do want to mention, thinking about the northern part of the state, that looks like the part of Illinois where the precipitation chances for March are a little bit more promising than central and southern parts of the state. We could stay on the drier side over central and southern Illinois, and I know that there still is a lot of interest and a lot of concern about some drier ground in the central part of the state. I don't know that we're going to get a whole lot of change until the month of April in that particular part of the state.
And those expected drier conditions and mild temperatures might bring an early spring to this part of Illinois. And moving on now into local ag news on your Wednesday. Don't forget that the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation is still offering scholarships for the upcoming school year for students wishing to pursue an agricultural major. The Macoupin County Agricultural Education Foundation is offering the scholarships to provide encouragement and financial assistance to Macoupin County residents and or students of a Macoupin County high school who displays well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activities, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is currently attending an Illinois college, university, or career technical education program and is currently majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through a Macoupin County High School guidance counselor, ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy can be requested by contacting the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by email or phone. That email is mcfb@frontiernet.net, and their phone number is 854-2571. All applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by the last Friday of this month, March 26th. And don't forget, this coming Saturday, the Madison County Fair Board will be having a drive-through chicken dinner fundraising event for this year's fair. Again, it'll be held on Saturday evening from 5 to 7 at the Madison County Fairgrounds in Highland. $10 gets you 6 pieces of chicken. And that concludes your Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, March 3rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.